Good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting me and my family to come visit, and especially thank you for taking care of Sierra while she's been here. I know she can be a handful. Trees, that's an odd title for a talk. And my habit generally is to pick a reading of the day and try to center my words around that, and very seldom ends up that way because I get distracted off on another path. But I started reading in Acts chapter 2, and one of the things that sidetracks me many times is because I sometimes am asked to speak in another ecclesia, and sometimes they prefer only the King James Version being read at the podium. I try to write all my exhortations and using the verses out of that version. I personally read out of the NES because it's the one that my brother Tom suggested when I was newly beginning to read the Bible, and I've stuck with it. But so there are many differences in wording in the verses. And I started focusing in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 22, where it reads, "Men of Israel," in the NAS version, "Men of Israel, listen to the words Jesus Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst. Just as yourselves know, this man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." Now, this, what got me thinking of this, because I was referencing in the King James Version, is this cross is, if I'm not mistaken, rendered tree. Both here and other places, speaking of his crucifixion. So this beautiful time of year, we look around and, you know, I was talking to a sister before meeting, and they just done a journey through to the redwood trees, and we see that the trees all around us getting their leaves. I don't know how it is down here, but up our way, most of our oaks are pretty bare during the winter, and now they're looking lush and green, and all of our plants are still pretty green. They're starting to fade a little bit as we came down this way south, but this is probably the prettiest time of year in our area, and it just got me thinking in a sense about how much symbolic ideals are rendered from trees. You have many examples in scripture where trees are used. And in my mind, when I want to remember things, I'll remember certain things, certain examples. I remember the story of Zacchaeus because he was in a tree. I remember how he didn't know what, you know, was to become of him climbing that tree and searching for Jesus, but it wasn't him searching for Jesus, it was Jesus searching for him, and it changed his life. One example of a tree. Another example is when Joab came on Absalom, and Absalom was caught in a tree. We have so many examples of trees in Scripture, and not only in Scripture, but our lives. We have trees that tell us the passing of the seasons. I know that when I smell fir trees or pine trees, it reminds me of my youth in the Sierras. It reminds me of when I met my wife. That so many memories come to you with these sort of things. I know examples of people that have carved their initials or a heart in a tree and come back many years later, and it's still there as a testament to that time or that part of their lives. And if we look in Scripture, this can be the same for us. There's pretty important trees, and of course, we start in the beginning when we go back to Genesis chapter 2. And we have the example of Adam and Eve, and their relationship with God, and a tree plays a very important part in that relationship. It says in verse 9 of chapter 2, "And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing in the sight and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of the good and evil." And then if we skip down to verse 15 through 17, we read, "Then the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat from it, you shall surely die.'" So two trees were identified, and by eating of one, man disqualified himself by eating of the other. Very important lesson. And of course, he separated himself from God, and because of this sin, of course, death was introduced into the world. So Genesis 3, as we read on, it prepares us for the struggle man has to go through as he is exiled from the garden. And that could only be the right thing. I mean, that's all, you know, we know in our lives and our lives prior to the truth, if we've had one, that life is a struggle, and sometimes even in the truth, but it's less of a struggle when you have the comforts of knowing you have a relationship with Christ and with God. That it's just, there's so much more comfort to whatever may be happening in your life. And when Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden, in my mind, I picture it as almost a death already, because the comfort that they once knew, the loneliness that they must have felt after that, was a real thing to them. Adam had Eve, of course, to be with, and that's a great blessing in your life, but they didn't have the relationship that they had once had when they were in the garden. And it took a tree, the tree, of course, was the tool, but it was just the circumstance of the way the events have unfolded. And in my mind, what a shock it must have been for them. And it took another tree in Scripture to put right what went wrong with Adam's disobedience. And of course, we can banter over whether it was a tree or a plank, but for all intents and purposes today, it was a tree, because it goes with my exhortation. But we're reminded in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, when it says, Peter records that Jesus bare our sins in his own body on the tree, and this is, of course, the King James rendering of that verse, that we be dead to sin, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we go from one tree that exiled man or separated man from God to another tree. The person that had to do with it brought us closer to God. And it was not a forbidden tree like it was in the garden, but it was a tree that meant death for Christ. And but the difference was that Jesus did so willingly and did so in love and obedience to his Father, went to the tree. And here's another not so coincidental coincidence, I guess. They both had to do with the garden, in that the first Adam, who was made in the image of God, was led from a tree out of the garden, where the second Adam, made in the invisible image of the invisible God, was led from a garden to a tree. I thought that was significant. And just as I made the point that it seemed that it would be a lonely place, having once had the relationship with God and being exiled from the garden, when Jesus is on the cross, I get a sense of loneliness when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I can't say exactly what he meant when he did that. There's a lot of guesses as to what he was feeling or thinking, and I don't have the ability to comment on that. But we know in his life that he shared, like us, the experience of temptation, the failure of friends, the hatred and cruelty of his enemies. And now he was perhaps facing the most pain possible in his life, both physically and emotionally. And all these things and more, he was tempted like we are. It's made very evident in what happened, especially in these last days, how much he was tempted and how much he did endure. And yet there was one experience of ours that was not his, and that was he didn't give in to these temptations and to these desires, and that's what separates him from other men. He was the one human who experienced all these things and never succumbed to them. And of course, we know that's why he can understand what we go through, and that's why we can go to him. One of the examples is in Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18, it reads, "In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself hath suffered, been tempted, he is able to succor also those that are tempted." And also in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16, it reads, "Seeing that then we have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So, if we remember, when Adam and Eve committed their sin and essentially separated themselves from God, they were hiding. They were, you know, God had to ask them, "Where are you?" And he wasn't asking them, "Where are you?" in a physical sense. He was asking them, "Where are you?" in a spiritual sense. He knew exactly where they were. But Jesus shows by his example in calling to God in his time of need, he was not hiding, or he knew that only in calling to God, being bold in saying that he needed the help, was he comforted and strengthened. And we also have this example in him, because he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And this is our challenge too, to, in our time of need, draw closer to God and not draw away from God, to try and ram the windmill, to try and achieve things ourselves. It says that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, to him that overcometh I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Another example of a tree. So now there is a way back to the tree that Adam and Eve had been driven from. And we know it's through God's Son. And there's more. At the end of Revelation, when we are shown the renewed earth with no curse, and in where everything is in total harmony between God and man, we read in chapter 21, verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, I have a hard time saying that word, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And if we remember the opening to the book of Revelation, remember that it's written for the benefit of the saints, those who are instructed to search out the word of God and to understand it. And it's an eye-opener to see who heads the list of those who will not inherit the promises of God. It's the fearful and unbelieving. So we have the example that I've given of those who were fearful, unbelieving, who were beguiled and separated themselves. And then we have an example of one who is strong and confident, and who endured and overcame. And the example is that God can do nothing for us unless we honestly make known our needs in faith and in confidence that our needs will be answered. Because whatever our problem is, we know that these were not idle words that Jesus said when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. So in this statement and many others that he made, we have access to a quality of life that was lost by Adam's disobedience. We can draw close and again feel the comfort that we have of this day and our fellowship and coming together, which is only a small piece of what I perceive to be the comfort and joy we will feel in the kingdom when it is established on the earth. And all this has been made possible by Jesus, way back to the tree, what his life achieved, what we remember when we partake of the bread and the wine, and how he truly endured the things of the flesh, and they were real. So we remember in taking this cup and this wine, and we show our love in doing so. And how could we forget? How could we forget what he's done? And hopefully now when we go out and look at the trees, we'll have another reason to remember. And so much has been done and so much has been given. We should remember.